Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. It looks like Blog Talk Radio is still having difficulty getting going. We're waiting for our co-hosts to come in, Terry Dodd and Red Beckman, but they're getting busy signals. So we're trying again. I'm going to be playing some music while we wait and see if we can get anyone in here soon. Okay, so hang in there. My goodness, we have live mics now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Very good. And Red's on there. Red's on here, too, and the chat is up, so very good. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening
to you.
Well, I will try to refresh my screen here, and Kate, kind of watch that board, because if I can get in on my Skype, I'll switch to my headset. Well, welcome to Walls in Our Minds, everyone. We've had some technical difficulties tonight. Both our host and Red and I have been trying to get in and been getting a busy signal for a better part of 15, 20 minutes, and you know, we finally got in. So tonight, Red and Dr. Kate and myself intend to have an open discussion. Red, are you able to open us in prayer?
I'll sure try. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity which you have provided that we can converse and communicate with our countrymen, and we pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to make our program have a value, a spiritual value. We're exposed to so much of the political values out there and not near enough of the spiritual. And we just pray that we would be able to connect this ourselves and our country to the spiritual and what we really need to do in this country to see an improvement in our situation. If we're watching the news, we cannot help but be very concerned about what's going on in our country. And we know that you have plans for our world and our country, and we're just praying and hoping that you can make yourself known and make your plan come into fruition and help us that we might be a part of your program. And we give you the praise now for everything in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much for that. For that wonderful prayer, Red. Kate, be ready here in a second. I'm going to kind of open her up and maybe turn the floor to you for a minute, and then if Red wants to chime in, certainly welcome to do so. We've got a guest that may call in a little bit later during this show, but right now there's been so much going on this week and last 10 days that I felt like we needed to have some conversation. Just between ourselves tonight, and of course today is the biblical Sabbath. Yesterday was actually Passover, and tomorrow is Resurrection Day according to the biblical calendar. And I find it interesting that with all of this confusion going on, that there seems to be just more and more evidence coming out almost every hour regarding these false flag events that have been going on, especially Boston Marathon bombing, and really, I think, conclusive evidence that the Tsarnaev brothers did not execute that bombing, but that it just seems to be nothing but lies coming out of the mainstream media, and the official story really disproves itself. And Kate, what's been alarming you about this? I know that, you know, I think we're of like mind that this is everything we're being told from the mainstream media has been a lie, and the propaganda just crazy out there. I mean, even, you know, you turn on the radio and you hear something like, well, now the manhunt is over and now the country can start healing. Like, in other words, don't ask any more questions. Don't question the lies that you're being told. Just start your healing process now. I mean, it's absurd. What are you thinking here, Kate?
Well, I agree. And one of the things I just want to point out is that all of the other things that have gone unnoticed, like the missile that went into the factory in Waco, the fact that Monsanto is involved in a lawsuit with that particular fertilizer factory, and the Monsanto's recent acquisition of Blackwater Security, the cover up of Benghazi, the ongoing cover up of the 2012 election theft. And again, what is, for me, these are horrific events, but they're distractions from something. It's like, look over here at this shiny thing, or bomb or whatever, but what is going on really behind the scenes? I think that there's probably ongoing financial theft and destabilization of our economy is just too much. And on the one hand, you know, these events are increasing in frequency, and so it appears that we're reaching some crescendo of something. On the other hand, we have people who are supposedly our friends in the alternative media really drumming up what I consider to be hysteria. And I just don't know. There's always some truth to things that are being laid out there, but it's almost a call to arms. And again, who are our leaders? And what are they trying to get us into early or later? And through all of this, we forget. The people forget to focus on God. I personally have reached a point where I just don't think there's much we can do on the national level with things like this, and that it really gets down to our personal relationship with God and really praying for mercy as we enter what appears to be an even worse phase. And what I consider about the only thing that I can do is to continue, me personally, is to continue to create the record of work that I'm doing on the local level to try to bring truth and light to a situation that is completely illegal, what I'm dealing with right now, the activities of state and local and tribal officials. Just unbelievable scam. And so I think it's very interesting right now. I guess I'll just stop right there. I was very interested in Walter Faith's discussion of the new Pope. And I was amused because he's saying, and I've heard this before, where everyone else is saying this is a terrifying event, this is horrible, these are terrible things that are going on, Pastor Vase is saying this is a most interesting time. And I guess I'm going to have to go with that. It's a most interesting time. Do I know what's happening? No. But I think these false flags are, they have to stop. And I think our enemies are showing themselves to us. They're not even hiding it anymore. They're just outright blatant in terms of their desire to murder Americans and to shut down cities and to impose martial law. And almost on cue, the same stories come up about financial people like the Rothschilds disappearing or the case against Obama and Clinton is coming to fruition and they've been indicted and that there are hundreds of soldiers on their way to lock down Congress. So what does a person believe? What is there to believe? What to me, it's as Walter Vase said, a most interesting time. I'm not too happy about what I see, but I just don't see that there's any clarity either from anyone. So I'm hoping that tonight we can discuss those things and try to reach some balance or some view or some foundation for moving forward. Otherwise, everyone is scattered to the wind. Like I say, I have to go back to Scripture. I have to go back to the Bible, not to identify, quote, where we are in the timeline, but to remember the pervasiveness of evil and its various different forms, and how we defeat it has to start from us personally. So I said I was going to stop about 10 minutes ago, so now I'll really stop.
Well, I tried to get in on Skype again, just to let you know, and it's still getting a busy signal, so we're fortunate
okay.
to be on here at all right now, so I'm thanking God for that one. You know, what we haven't mentioned, you know, this certainly distracted from the Benghazi investigation, and, you know, that 100, oh, it's, I think it was up to 117 congressmen have now signed on to a demand for a special investigation, a congressional investigation regarding Benghazi and Pat Smith, the mom of the fellow that was killed at Benghazi, also had signed on to that, and Boehner has been blocking that, saying that he didn't think that we had gotten to that point yet. But obviously everything that we've been told there was a lie, and this has certainly been a distraction for that. Then you look at this CISPA. Have you looked at this cyber, let's see what that CISPA stands for. It stands for Cyber Security Bill with, and there's like 92 Democrats supporting the thing, but it's Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act that they slipped through right after, I mean, immediately after the Boston bombing, they slipped this legislation quietly through the Congress, where they're trying to make it so that not only can the government share information with private companies, but that companies like Google and these other data farming social sites, social networking sites, can collect your information, and all the government has to do is ask them. They send the information over to them, and it's not even subject to a FOIA request, and there's no recourse against them legally releasing your private information to the government. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I have heard about it, and what else is next? You know, these things almost can be anticipated. And it seems like we're finding out about it too late, and that that the powers that be are ahead of us in terms of being able to respond. So all we get to do is react, and that is not an effective place for us to be right now.
Well, I totally agree with what you said before, and that there's really seems to be very little we can do on a national scale. And I'm hesitant to use that word, but you know, at this point we've got this de facto corporate government up there that calls itself a nation, and at the federal level, let's put it that way, at the federal level, it just seems to be no recourse. There's certainly no response that we get regarding any petition for redress of grievance, so we can forget about that at the federal level. There's nothing you can call into any of the even local television stations or radio stations, and they'll tell you that they're not going to even discuss this stuff unless you're, and if even if it's a supposed conservative talk show host, they're going to shut you down on anything that they refer to as a conspiracy theory. It's just the only thing we can do at this point is, like you said, we've got to repent, we've got to turn to God, and we've got to work at this on a local level. We can't quit. We can't sit on our couches with our remotes. We've got to be active. We've got to be doing something. We've got to be identifying what they're doing in our local areas, that because they're attacking us everywhere and everywhere you turn. I mean, so anybody in any state, in any county, should be able to look around and find something they're doing, whether they're attacking your Second Amendment rights, or you know, whether it's gay marriage, or you know, there's lots of things going on that they're attacking our individual rights with that you can do something about on a local level. Here in Colorado, we've got recall elections being petitioned for right now for four of the senators that have been pushing this, and even about to start one against the governor of the state of Colorado. So, I mean, there are things that we can do, and we have to basically take advantage of what we're capable of doing, whether that's if you know, if all you can do is pray, that's better than nothing, because God certainly will respond to our prayers. And maybe that's a place to really launch this discussion a little bit, Kate, is to talk about how you see prayer being answered where you are now.
Well, that was a pretty tall order. Maybe we should let Red pop in here for a minute while I gather my thoughts.
Well, you know, I've enjoyed this program up to this point because I've been able to be quiet. But I just... there isn't a day goes by, I don't think, that I don't talk to somebody on the phone or personally. They're complaining about how bad things are and all, and I say, well, I would recommend that you go and read Matthew 24. Our Messiah King, Jesus the Christ, said, there he said that it would, the worst time that man has ever seen on this planet was going to come. And we're not there yet, are we? It's getting pretty bad. It has been bad for some time, but it's expanding very rapidly now. It's coming hard and fast and just designed to overwhelm us. It's coming, but it's not here. But as I've said so many, many times, it's the record that we as individuals make that's going to count when we get to the judgment, the great judgment with our King. And I've said that so many times, and I'll continue to say it, that it's whether we are drawing our line in the sand in with gun control or whatever it is, what kind of a record are we preparing to go with us to the judgment? And so it's not whether we're successful. I've brought up Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. What a tremendous prophet he turned out to be. But in the days in which he was living, he was preaching to the children of Israel, the 10 tribes. And he was telling them of judgment to come. And they didn't listen. They didn't want to listen to him. And so when he was alive and preaching the live sermons out there to the children of Israel, he was very, very unsuccessful. But he had a tremendous record to take with him. When he departed this life, he had a tremendous record, and that record is there today. And I... just before the program here tonight, I went back and read Isaiah, the 9th chapter again. I had read that before, I think, while on a program, "For unto us a child is born." I've got to get my light on here better. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This is, read Matthew 24, but don't read Matthew 24 without reading verses like that in Isaiah that I just read, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 there. That we can really build our faith, strengthen our faith, strengthen our resolve and all of that by reading those kind of passages of Scripture. And of course, you read Revelations, the 12th chapter, and as we get near the end, Satan is going to be working overtime. He's going to be working so hard, and he's got his minions out there, and it's like they're in a panic. And of course, Revelations 12 says that Satan knows his time is short. And so, sure, we can be down in the mouth, we can be discouraged, we can be disappointed in Obama getting elected again for a second term. We could be all these kind of things, but we know what's coming, and that is reason enough to rejoice and be glad in what is happening. But it sure helps to know. And when we read Matthew 24 and verses there, like in Isaiah and such, when we read those, why it gives us the spiritual strength that we need to be able to survive this morass of evil that is just—I mean, it is just so deep. We're drowning in it. It's just unbelievable what's going on. But anyway, I guess I've said my piece, so I'll listen in now. The friend, the fellow that may call in, we'll hope he does. He's got a story to tell, and he said he would try to be on next week. He can't be on all tonight, but I told him to try to call in, and we'd introduce him to the audience and build your anticipation, because this is a fellow that I think has a story to tell that will build your faith and build your strength in the Lord and know that God is he's still working. He's still out there. He's still getting people turned on to his plan, and that's what we're doing. I like to think that I've helped a lot of people make the right choices in their life, and that's what we can do, and that's what we need to be doing. But anyway, it's back to you.
Well, thank you. Kate, have you collected your thoughts yet?
No, because Red made me think about so many other things.
Well, my point initially here was that we should not be distracted by these false flags. We've got to recognize that these people in Washington, D.C., and London, and New York, and wherever, Chicago, that are really pulling the strings, all they're going to do is lie to us. And if you turn on the television set, they're going to lie to us. So we need to be watching, because it's like a magician's trick. You've got to be watching what's happening, not what they're trying to make you look at, but all the other stuff that's going on. That's what we've got to be aware of. Just like that Falcon missile strike in Waco on the West fertilizer plant. I mean, that they've tried to slip that one through and tried to, the police say that there's no evidence of any foul play or anything going on there. And I find it rather comical when you can just look and see that a missile came right in and hit it. Now, they've pretty much determined that it's probably a Falcon missile that came in there because of the speed of it. That thing came in at way over the speed of sound, which they've got these, what they call a Falcon missile. You can go online and probably look that up. But they can fire those things from the other side of the globe and strike within 30 to 45 minutes anywhere on the globe with those Falcon missiles, because they travel at 5 times the speed of sound. And they're pretty confident that's what they use to hit that plant. Now, the real question is, why did they hit that plant the way they did? Was that, one group says it's a warning to Bush. Another one says that it's a pattern that they whistleblowers have come out and said, first it's going to be, something at the Kennedy, which with that library up there, and then something by Bush. Well, I'm not sure I buy any of that stuff, but I do know that that the West Fertilizer Plant had a lawsuit going with Monsanto, and that could very well be a loud warning being given by them. But, you know, that was no natural fire that went on down there, and there's no way anybody will ever convince me of that from the videos that I've seen from four different angles now. But it's like Red said, and you said it too, Kate. We've got to keep our chin up. We've got to stay productive. We can't think that this is anything to pull us down. It's certainly nothing to be fearful about if we are in Christ. If we are keeping God at the top of the pecking order, you know, things are either going to get better or they're going to get a lot worse, and it could go either way here. You know, if we look at prophecy, we got to believe that. You know, I certainly believe that we're approaching the bowl judgments or the seals being broken, if you will, in Revelations. But at the same time, we know who's going to win this ultimate battle. So, Kate, I hope I didn't make you think of even more things.
No, I think both of you are just absolutely right on. And I mean, to the extent that people have been screaming, you know, at me about, look at this, look at this, look at this, and I find myself just not exactly numb, but basically saying, well, so what? Something else is happening here. And in terms of what the work is doing here, you know, it's easy to get distracted on just your own personal situation or whatever, but I think that the wonderful things that have been happening here have been the continued exposure of sin and sinful individuals and strategies and actions that are being taken right now, the exposure of the lies that have been perpetuated on people here, and frankly, the shocking lack of consciousness of God, which is very disturbing. When you ask, you know, where is the foundation of people? Sometimes some of the things that are going on here are very clear. And when you have someone, for example, just floating all over the place, and on one day on this side of the issue, one day on the other side of the issue, and one day somewhere completely else, you have to ask, what is the foundation? What is your foundation? And upon inquiry, I find that a lot of people are not rooted in God. They're not. And that in itself is also a revelation, if you will, and is a guide to, I think, how we move forward in the work that we do right now, and remembering to put God on the top of the pecking order. So I think that's just a few of the things that I see right now, and I just feel like I've got to continue the work going on here, and that, you know, we very recently won a very major battle. The war is still going on, of course, but we were able to stop in its tracks a water deal that would have impacted 360,000 people in western Montana and given everything over to an Indian tribe this year. And God's hand was with us. We raised enough uncertainty about this issue to derail it for at least a couple of years. And as we were going on doing this, more things started showing up, and we ended up believing, and this is how we look at it, we could be very disappointed that we didn't, you know, drive a stake right through the heart of this thing and completely kill it. But what we figured, the way we viewed our turn of fortune, was that, first of all, it is God's will, whatever happens, thy will be done. And secondly, we felt that, honestly, where we looked, we felt that God had something more for us to uncover before we could completely put this thing off the table, so Montanans wouldn't have to worry about it. And upon reaching that view, which gave us, you know, all a lot more hope, boy, we've had things showing up every single day that not only put in, you know, make the pieces fall together, but open up broad new horizons for why this thing was stopped now and what we can do to make sure in 2 years that it's completely stopped and that the regular process is allowed to proceed, no more negotiation. But we're uncovering hundreds of millions of dollars worth of fraud. And finding ways to bring that out and actually beginning to go after it in particular. So I'm thinking that, you know, that the handful of people you end up finding who are grounded in God and who see that is like having a million people on your side, because it's magnified when people are rooted in God and rooted there and very, not quote easy with repentance, but very, very easily see the need to repent and do so. So it is a most interesting time here, and of course where I'm living and this place is beautiful. No wonder they call it God's country, because it really is beautiful. And so we're graced with that beauty, and the starkness of the contrast with the sin that's going on right underneath these mountain peaks and this beautiful sky and so forth. So it's, you know, I'll just stop there for now, but I think that those are just very interesting things to observe and to see and to feel and to understand. And thank God for God, because without that, I think I'd just be completely lost, completely adrift, with no foundation. I've seen people without foundation. It grieves me, and I pray for them that they find it.
Well, let's give some perspective to what is going on up there. First of all, if it hadn't been for God, you wouldn't be there. You went through a time period that brought you to a position of where you were available, where you were of the right mindset, where the timing was perfect in your own life. The timing was perfect up there. These people had been working on this compact for 10 years. They had already successfully entered into compacts with many other tribes and reservations across the state. And this was the big one. This was their, you know, this was a big hit for the feds and the tribes, or the tribal leaders, I should say, not the tribes, but the tribal leaders. And we're talking 50 million acre feet of water. We're talking on a renewable water source like that. At least most of it, I believe, is renewable. That's a technical term for those that, at any rate, you're looking at something upwards of $200 billion worth of water in the short-term future. And God made it so that this would be revealed, and in the process of doing this has revealed, has exposed a lot of evil, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of two-face and hypocrisy in the government officials, and it's really opening up a lot of people's eyes to what's going on, and there's a lot of prayer associated with it. Did anything I say, was that out of line, Kate, or is that right on the money?
Well, that's definitely right on the money, and it reminds me of of a show that we had a while ago when you asked me how long it took me to really know that I had to make myself available, and I think I answered like 4 months or something. And in fact, it's been 3 or 4 years of a long journey that really began, I'm sure, in my childhood, but really in 2009, and then came forward, and it took me the longest time to really understand that I had to listen to God for what is next, rather than always trying to figure it out, you know, and rely on my education and rely on things of my own mind. And yes, it was remarkable, because if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't listened to God, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be somewhere else. I don't know where, but I wouldn't be here right now. And as it turns out, sort of it feels like God has been preparing me my whole life for this situation, because many of the same people from my past and issues that I dealt with on another level are right here, even some of the same people. And so, yes, it has been really an extraordinary blessing. And I have, I believe, done my best. You know, I'm sure we can all do better than what we say is our best. But I'm telling you, somebody told me the other day that I was the hardest working unemployed person they'd ever met. And, you know, I have to tell you that I feel like I've worked harder by being unemployed and doing this work than I ever have. And I think it's because my heart and my spirit, you know, and I'm right here, and I do believe very much that this was the hand of God that brought me here. And I have to remember that when I get into... Yeah.
The question is, you've done some things in the past where you were compensated, fairly well. But would you trade the compensation that you're getting now? We have to learn somehow in this life that you have to give in order to get. You don't get your tank filled up unless you're out there spilling it a little bit. You got to go put it to work, that fuel to work. And God tends to just fill your tank up when you're going about things and making yourself available for His work and His will. And I'm wondering if any time in your life have you ever had compensation that's better than what you're getting now?
I would say no. Absolutely not. This is by far the best, and the wonderful thing is you don't measure it by your income or your bank account. You don't measure it. I mean, what can you say about stopping a train that's barreling down on the tracks? And, you know, it is like David and Goliath. He had just a stone, a round stone and a slingshot. And I used every tool that God has given me, and just a small group of people. We didn't have a fancy lawyer, and we didn't have, you know, big funds, and this was not a big consulting job and moneymaker for me. And look at what we did. And to realize that we stopped that train, yes, albeit for a little bit, but there's a reason. It's His will. That, to me, is the greatest reward. The greatest reward. And how I feel. I'm exhausted, of course, and I'm at this point right now where I'm trying to regenerate the strength. But no, Terry, thank you for that question, because it gives me a chance to unequivocally say I have never experienced this in my life. And the measure of my success or measure is of my well-being is my service to my Lord. And that's a very big thing for me. As you know, I've got all this fancy education. I've been all these various places. I've been all of these schools. I've been way up in the government. I've been all over the place. And this has been the best so far.
Well, I want to warn Red. Red, I want you to be thinking about maybe giving a little lesson to our listeners tonight about this concept of God being at the top of the pecking order. One, give the listeners, not right this second, you can think about it a minute, but give the listeners a kind of a definition of what that means for you, how that relates to our unalienable rights, and how the people can go about what they need to do, what they need to know, what they need to act upon in order to keep God at the top of the pecking order. And I know that's a tall order, but you know, and I think the last time you did a seminar on that, it was about 2 hours. But we got an hour and 10 minutes left here, and you're welcome to take whatever portion of it you want to do that. But I think that this tonight is a good time to think about doing that. I'd like to share something that's related to exactly what you're talking about, Kate. When we were at the Continental Congress in Illinois back in the fall of 2009, there was a lot of division between the delegates that came there from all over the country, from, you know, something like 48 states were represented at one point. There was a lot of division because some of the people that came there were trying their best to keep God at the top of the pecking order. They came there wanting to focus on God and wanting to include God in the process, include him in the writings of the Articles of Freedom, include him in the resolutions. And there were those there that fought that. They thought that it would be too exclusivistic, that it would exclude certain people, or that people would get turned off to it. They didn't want to say anything about abortion because they thought that would be a controversial topic. If I were walking in that today, I might be more like some of those that wanted to include him in everything, because there are many movements amongst the freedom movements out here, many different groups. Cliques in some cases, but you know, whether it's tea parties or you know, different types of freedom groups out there, whether it's We the People or whoever it is, that will not include God. And I have come to the decision that I will not participate in any group that doesn't see and acknowledge the spiritual battle that's going on. What I have found is that the people who are not able to see the big picture in this, that are getting caught up with the distractions, that are easily deceived, that are wasting their time spinning their wheels, they're doing that principally because they do not acknowledge the spiritual battle and will not include God in the process. So I'm laying it out there. Anybody that's listening to this, don't call me unless you want to include God in the process. If you're not willing to acknowledge that the principal battle that's going on here is a spiritual battle, and that keeping God at the top of the pecking order is the most important thing that we can do, then don't bother even inviting me, because you're not going to get anywhere with me. And there's been a number of groups that have invited me in that I have elected to walk away from for that very reason. And I think that that's the right place for me to be. I think that I need to not go down that path. I've even found that, you know, even working, you know, being a real estate professional and a developer to some extent, a construction manager, I found that I don't even like working with clients that are not willing to acknowledge the spiritual battle that's going on. It's so much more rewarding, and regardless of what the monetary compensation is, life's too short to deal with people who are not willing to include God. So there's my statement. And Kate, before we turn the floor over to Red and let him give us a little lesson on this pecking order, do you have any comment back to that?
Only that I completely agree. And I found myself just turning off websites, turning off various arguments and issues, and not really going anywhere unless he is there, and that is very clear. And I am grateful for the people I've worked with here, even though we're a handful, just a small handful, just a few, that we have started that way, and have used our perspective of him and his acceptance of us as a way to gauge what's next and what we do. So I'm in agreement with you. I'm still a newbie.
Thanks,
I would have to say, but I'm in agreement.
Well, there's people that have been claiming to be in him for, you know, a lifetime of 60 years that don't necessarily have the maturity that you have now. And I tell you that Red, I'll speak for Red, and I'll let him say it himself. But I know that we both very much appreciate the attitude that you now carry with you because of your faith. Red, you only got about an hour, so you better hurry up.
Well, you know.
No pressure, No pressure.
For many years, you know, I would be speaking at different places, and I would look for the opportunity to make the remark and say, well, you have to remember that we're in a spiritual war rather than just a political war. If you are only involved in the political, you have no destination whatever, you know, any promise of a destination. You don't know where you're going to end up, and that's why this country is in such trouble politically, is because the God that guided our founders in this country, as the delegates went to Philadelphia to produce a Declaration of Independence, those delegates from the 13 colonies, they had egos that were just tearing everything apart, and some of the delegates had even headed for home because of all the friction, the confusion from all the different viewpoints. And Benjamin Franklin, he was a very wise man, and he stood up and he said, gentlemen, we can't do this by ourselves. We're going to have divine help. And for the first time since the delegates had arrived there, they all agreed. And so they had a minister come in and start their session with an invocation. And when they did that, it just changed everything. And Tom Jefferson sat down and wrote the Declaration of Independence at one sitting. Now, I would challenge anybody. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have read the Declaration of Independence. But I'm afraid that there's not nearly enough of them that have understood that what it was that made that Declaration of Independence, you know, what it is and what it always will be. It was because God's hand was involved. The same went for the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Again, it was Benjamin Franklin that stood up and said, gentlemen, we can't put this together. We've got to have divine help. And again, they had a minister come in, and from that point on, things moved rather smoothly, and the confusion, the antagonism between the delegates and such was gone. And so when God is involved, when the spiritual is involved, you have a different climate, a climate of cooperation, a climate of where people are not just mounted on their high horse with their ego and things have to be their way. They recognize that there is a better way when you have the guidance and the input of our Heavenly Father. Now, I'm gonna just drift aside here just a little bit because I want to bring something into the picture here that I really hadn't thought of, and really it kind of changes the direction of the discussion perhaps. But I just finished up a couple days ago another 700 or 800 word essay to put in them those full page ads I have in AFP, and I made the statement. I talked about the oath of office that we veterans took when we were, you know, ushered into the military. My mother had five sons, and three of them were in the Korean War all at the same time. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was the oldest, and I was the first one to go. And that oath of office, it stayed with me. And we took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And as I have become involved in the freedom movement in this country, a lot of people call it the Patriot Movement and the tax protests and all that kind of thing, and I don't really care what they call it. I like the freedom movement to call it that. And I have found that you have to question anybody in the movement that tries to reject the fact that our Heavenly Father is involved, very much involved in the happenings in this country. And people that want to reject that, there's something about it. I don't trust them. I just don't respect their opinions that much because I suspicion that it's coming from the wrong source. And so I really watch for that. But anyway, I wrote this little essay about the oath of office, and they told us all about the foreign enemies and how to identify them and shoot them and kill them and all that kind of thing. But not a word was said about domestic enemies. Here we are in a situation where we are confronted on a daily basis with enemies of our constitutional republic form of government. We are confronted, as I just found out here in the last couple of weeks or less, the military cemeteries. Now, I'm getting up in years, and I have to think about these things, and so I contacted and did some checking, and the closest military cemetery is about 50 miles away, but I can be buried there, my wife and I both. But I just found out that the Obama administration has ruled that if there is a graveside service, as the commitment of a veteran to a grave, whoever's in charge of the graveside service, they dare not use the words Jesus the Christ in their prayers. Now, this identifies somebody as a domestic enemy, does it not? These are domestic enemies, and I think we have failed probably in the future here. I think on these programs that we want to keep this in mind, and when we run into these really bad political criminal acts like Dr. Kate is bumping heads with there in Montana right now. I think that we need to recognize them as domestic enemies of our country. They are domestic enemies. They are not foreign enemies, and we have to remember that great nations are never destroyed by foreign enemies coming in. Our great nations are always destroyed by enemies within, and we have them right here in this country at this time. And if they're a domestic enemy, you will find that they are they're Luciferian in their belief systems. They don't worship the true God. They don't believe in the Creator God. And of course, the USSR, when it was created,
hello. Red, Terry?